One Sunday, a little boy looked up at his dad and he asked, "Daddy, how does God love us?" His father answered, "Son, God loves us with an unconditional love." The boy thought for a moment and then he asked, "Daddy, what kind of love is unconditional love?" The father thought for a minute, "How am I going to explain this to my son?" And after a few moments, he answered, "Do you remember those two boys that used to live next door to us and how they got that cute little puppy last Christmas?" And his son said, "Yes, I remember." And he said, "Do you remember how they used to tease that dog, throw sticks at that puppy, and even stones, and really treat that dog, that little puppy, mean?" And the boy said, "Yeah, I remember." And he said, "Do you remember how the puppy would always greet them with a wagging tail and try to lick their faces?" He said, "Yeah, I remember." He said, "Well, that puppy had an unconditional love for those little boys. They didn't deserve that love. They treated that dog mean, but he loved them anyway. That's unconditional love. And that's the kind of love God has for us." You know, Jesus said to his disciples, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as, just as, what? I have loved you. I have loved you." We are in a series of messages on the one another statements of the Bible. How you can bless others in the body of Christ, in the church. And we have taken a look at that and seen that there are 55. Now remember that, because maybe next week or sometime I'm going to ask you on the quiz. 55 statements, one another statements in the New Testament that deal with how we relate to one another, how we treat one another, how we minister to one another, and how we are to bless one another in the church. And you remember that the umbrella statement, what Jesus said was the ID badge of the Christian, is that what? Love one another. Love one another just as I have loved you. By this, people are going to know that you are my followers. You're my disciples, by the love you have for one another. Amen. Now, all the other one another statements in the Bible flesh that out. Yeah. It tells us how to do this. How can we really love one another in the body of Christ? And we've taken a look at several of them already. You remember, we started with, you know, how we think of one another will many times determine how we treat one another, right? Remember Romans chapter 12? We are to be of the same mind toward one another. That means no prejudice, no preferential treatment of anybody in the church. We're all on level ground at the foot of the cross. Amen? Yes. Amen. And we are to be of a humble mind toward one another. In fact, we are to think of others in the church as better than ourselves. Boy, that's different than the world, isn't it? That's real different than the world. We're to be of humble mind and think of other people better than myself, better than me. And we're to be of an honoring mind. Do you remember what it said? Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Or King James, be kindly affectioned to one another in brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. We're to put others first. Not herself. Man, would that make a difference in churches? Oh, yeah. My, oh my, oh my. And then last week, we took a look at, you know, in the church, there's people that differ with us. You know, one thing that really always kind of amazed me, and I've never been able to figure this out, how God blesses people that differ from me. Can you imagine that? It's hard to figure out. But you know what? There are people that differ from us. And we're talking about how we live out our Christian faith. And we took a look. How do you have peace on the deck of our ship here? And you remember we started out, and it says that we are to accept one another. Not to go around judging each other. Boy, you got to think just like I do. You got to do it just like I do. Or you're wrong. No, we're not to do that. We're to accept one another. We're to receive one another, it says. You know, non-coffee drinkers are to receive coffee drinkers. If you weren't here last week, you didn't get that, but that's okay. I had somebody, we had a fellowship dinner downstairs, and one of the servers came up to me with a coffee urn and said, caffeine. But we're to accept one another. Another statement, we are to live in peace with one another. You know, we're not to be troublemakers. We're to be peacemakers. We're to be quick to forgive and receive forgiveness. We're to be quick to extend the grace of God to people in the church. We're to be peacemakers. And then we're to greet one another with a holy kiss or a warm handshake, right? And you know what it says? It says greet all the saints. Don't just greet the ones that agree with you. Greet all the saints. And you know, that's the kind of church we want to have. And we, as we learn to get along with people that differ from us in the church. Now today, we're going to look at three more one another statements. But these one another statements have to do with ministering to people in the church. Ministering in the church. So take your Bibles and open them up to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and we want to look at Galatians 5, and we're going to be zeroing in on verse 13. We're going to read it, and I want to give you the background here in Galatians. But Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says this, "For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love," here it is, "serve one another." Serve one another. Now, just to give the biblical context to this, the book of Galatians is a book about good news. It's a book about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the message of Galatians is that we are free from the law. We are free from the law. Listen, as Christians, we're not under law. We're under grace. We are under grace. We've been set free. By the way, you didn't get saved by keeping the law. You don't keep saved by keeping the law. You don't grow in Christ, listen, by keeping the law. Now, and Galatians says this. The law had its purpose. The law, Galatians says, was a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. You see, the law came in to show us what? We're sinners. We fall short. And we need a Savior. And that's what the law, that's the purpose of the law. But once you are saved, once you receive Christ, once you see, I need a Savior, and you invite Christ into your life, you're not under law. God sends the Holy Spirit into our heart. And now it's by the Spirit sets us free. Amen. Now listen, not to do what we want, but to do what we ought.
Yes. Yes.
See, there's a difference. You know, somebody says, you know, once saved, always saved. Now I can do what I want. Wrong. That's wrong. That is wrong. In fact, if somebody says that to you, they're not saved. They don't understand grace. Once saved, always saved. Now we can do what God wants. That's it. And you know what? That's true freedom. Freedom is not the right to do what we want. It's the power to do what we ought. That's it. Amen? That's it. And God, through His Spirit, has given us that power. He has given us power to say no to sin and yes to righteousness. He has given us power to walk the supernatural Christian life. And it's only through the Spirit. And when we have the Spirit, and the power is available. Now listen, we don't always appropriate that power, do we? We don't always use that power. But the power is available through the Holy Spirit. That's why I will tell everyone, there's the Christian life is not a hard life to live. It's an impossible life to live. It's impossible. We can't do it in our own strength. I tried, I failed. I trusted, He succeeded. We live the Christian life in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit sets us free. Sets us free. That's why it says in verse 16, now I say to you, walk in the Spirit and you will not what? Carry out the desire of the flesh. The Spirit. We are free in Christ. Not free to do what we want, but free to do what we ought. We've got the power to live the life now through the Holy Spirit. And that's the message of the book of Galatians. It's a message of freedom. In fact, I think it's Warren Wiersbe's B series. Somebody just mentioned that to me. His book on Galatians is Be Free. Be free. Now that's the biblical context. But let's look at it. Look at verse 13 again. Look at verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. Again, we are free, not free to sin. The King James Version says you've been called to liberty. But liberty is not license. We shouldn't turn our liberty or our freedom into an opportunity. That word means a springboard or a base of operation for a mission. We have freedom in Christ, but our freedom shouldn't become a base of operation or a springboard for our flesh to sin. Amen. That's what he's saying. But, on the contrary, let your freedom become something much greater. Much greater. Let your freedom. He said, but, through love, serve one another. Do you see that? Do you see that? Do we really... Do you know how free we are? We are so free. Amen. We are so free. We can serve one another. We can serve one another. And the word serve there comes from the word doulos, which means we can become a slave to one another. We can serve one another. We are so free. It's not that we can do what we want. We're so free. We can serve one another and love it. Amen. And love it. Yes. We're so free. We can wash each other's feet. Yes. And love it. Yes. That's That's free. We're so free, we can become a slave and willingly serve one another. The Tyndale New Testament commentary says we can be slaves of one another. And this service, listen, and this service is voluntary, and the only compulsion is love.
Amen.
Only compulsion is love. The only compulsion. In love, by love, serve one another. Again, Tyndale New Testament commentary, if we seek an Old Testament analogy, it's the one that is found in the freed slave who refuses to leave the household of the master he loves. You remember that back in Exodus 21? You remember, if you sold yourself into slavery, you were a slave for 6 years. Seventh year, you were set free. But if you loved your master, and you didn't want to leave his service, you would say, I want to be your servant forever.
Yes.
And they would take him to the door. Remember the door? And they would put his ear there, and they'd put an awl through his ear. And he was a bond slave.
Yes.
Because he loved the master. And you know, here it says, listen, we're so free, we get to serve each other in the church.
Yeah.
That's it. We get to serve one another.
Yes,
now, what's the practical application? How do we do that? How do you serve one another? Hold your hand here in the chapter. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And we want to look, how do you do that? How do we serve one another? 1 Peter chapter 4, and we want to start in verse 8. Read down through verse 11. It tells us exactly how we serve one another. This is important. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8 says, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. Praise God. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another.
Amen.
As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, it is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Did you see it there? You know what it says there? It says, everyone, if you are a true Christian, you know the Lord, you have received a gift.
Yes.
Or gifts of the Spirit.
Yes.
A supernatural ability.
Yes.
And he says, as each of you has received a gift, employ it in serving one another.
Amen.
As good stewards.
Yeah.
I mean, a steward has to be faithful, and a steward is one day going to what? Give an account. As you have received a spiritual gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
Amen.
Let me read a quote from the book Biblical Eldership. Alexander Strauch writes this. Listen to this. Ministry is the work of the whole church. Ministry is not the work of one person or even one group of people. The local church is not only a flock, it is a body of Spirit-gifted royal priests who minister to the Lord and his people. Each member of Christ's body is equipped by the Spirit to minister to the needs of others.
Yes.
And I'm looking out, you know what I see? I see a bunch of people that are Spirit gifted, royal priests. Wow, I am just privileged to be in your presence. You are Spirit-gifted royal priests. And the work of the ministry is not to be done just by one person. You didn't hire me to do the work. You hired me to get you to do the work. And the elders just don't do the work. Or the deacons or the trustees, they do a lot of work. Praise God, we have wonderful leaders. But we're all ministers. We're all called to serve. Because you know what? God gave you a gift to serve. And let me say something. God gave me a gift. And my gift, he gave me to bless you. And God gave you a gift. And he gave you your gift to bless me and others in the body of Christ. Yes. It's not just, this is my gift. This is going to really bless me. No, it's to bless you. Yes. Amen? Yes. That's why he gave the gifts. And you know, he gave so many gifts. Sometimes we think just of one or two gifts. We think of preaching and teaching. But there's gifts of administration, encouragement, exhortation, musical abilities, evangelism, prayer, leadership, pastoring, giving, showing mercy, service, hospitality, and the list goes on and on. There are like four places in the New Testament where they list the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and none of them are exhaustive. You know why I think that is? That's just my thought. There's as many gifts of the Holy Spirit as there are needs in the body of Christ. And if people are not using their gifts, then those needs go unmet. Because God gave us the gifts so we could serve one another. That's what I did. Now, I have a question. Do you know what your gift is? Or gifts are? Now, I've had many people tell me, listen, Pastor, I don't know what my gift is. Well, if you don't, and I would say, first of all, pray. Ask God. God, the Word of God says every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. What's my gift? What's my gift? Then, while you wait for him to answer you, get serving. Get busy. Because you know the old adage, it's hard to steer a parked car. But once you get it moving a little bit, boy, that Holy Spirit can guide you right into, oh, look at the fruit. Maybe I have a gift here. So, are you serving? We're not saved to sit. We're saved to serve. So let's do it. Now, there's others that know what their spiritual gift is. And they're using it, employing it, and serving others. Praise God. Thank you for doing that. Yes. Continue to do that. Yes. But there's some that know their spiritual gift and you've buried it. God has given you a gift to serve the church and you went out and buried it. You remember the parable? You remember the parable. How the one with the one talent, he's a hardened man. I'm going to go bury my talent. And he did. And Jesus said, not good. See, stewards, as good stewards of the manifold grace, stewards give one day give an account. And that kind of put some fear into my heart. Because God will one day, we're going to give an account how we used the gifts that God gave to us. And we are to use them to serve one another in the church. Remember, as each of you has received a spiritual gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Serve one another. Now, who's the greatest example of this? Jesus, right? Jesus. When you listen, and you'll appreciate this, Pastor Jeremy. When Jesus came into the world, he didn't come in with a consumer mentality. Serve me. Feed feed me. Minister to me. He didn't come in with a consumer mentality. He came in as a what? Bondservant. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for money. God, wash feet. If that doesn't blow you away, God washed feet. What if Jesus walked in here right now and came over to you and took your shoes off, started washing your feet? I mean, I'd just faint. Well, if he came walking in, I'd faint. But if he got down and washed my feet, go and do likewise. Serve one another. Second one another statement. And it's found over in chapter 6. It's do good to one another. Do good to one another. Chapter 6 of Galatians, verses 9 and 10. It says, let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. And put this verse down, 1 Thessalonians 5:15. Because there we read, see that no one repays another evil for evil, but all, listen, always seek after that which is good for one another. And for all men. One of the one another statements is do good to one another. Now back to Galatians 6, 9 and 10. It says that we are not to, I think King James says, do not grow weary in well doing. Or in doing good, don't grow weary. You know why I think it says that? There's so many needs. People in this church, there are so many needs. And you know what? When you try to go out and do good, you can grow tired. You can grow weary. And I'll tell you what, that's where the Holy Spirit's got to come in. Because you can't do it. You just, there's so many. You know what? One need's met, there's another need. One need's met, another need comes. And if we try to do it in our flesh, burnout. I'll tell you, burnout among Christian pastors is proverbial, huh? And even Christian people, when they have a sensitive heart and want to do good and see the needs and they're trying, if you try to do it in your own flesh, you're gonna faint. You're gonna grow weary. You're gonna say, I can't do it. That's where you gotta be filled with the Holy Spirit and let Him empower us. And he says, while we have opportunity, because sometimes we have an opportunity and we don't act, and you know what? You miss it. You miss it. William Penn wrote, I expect to pass through life but once. If therefore there can be any kindness I can show or any good things I can do to any fellow human being, let me do it now and not defer it or neglect it, as I shall not pass this way again.
Amen.
As opportunities come up, do good. Don't miss the opportunity. Reminds me of the old adage, you know what? Send flowers now. Don't send flowers to my funeral. I won't even be there at my funeral. Do good now while you have opportunity.
Yeah.
I like what John Wesley said. He said, do all the good you can by all the means you can and all the ways you can and all the places you can to all the people you can as long as forever you can.
Amen.
So How do we do that? What's the practical application? Doing good to one another goes hand in hand with serving one another, doesn't it? Goes hand in hand with that. How can you do good to somebody in the church this week? I'm going to give you an assignment. I want you to intentionally do good to somebody in the church this week. What kind of good things could you do? What good thing could you do for somebody? A word of encouragement. Call somebody, encourage them. That's a good thing. You could pray for them. Better than that, what? Pray with them. That's good. And you can pray for them too, but pray with them. What other good things can you do? What's that? Mail a card to them. Give them a card of encouragement. You could bring a meal over to the pastor. No. You could take a meal to somebody. You could just go visit a shut-in. Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of things, good things you can do. Here's your assignment. I want you to do this. I want you to do at least one good thing to somebody in the church. And listen, if you can do it anonymously, you get extra credit. And if there's somebody that's offended you, somebody that's hurt you, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So go do something good to somebody. Now, if somebody does something good, don't think you've offended them. But do good. Go do good. That's how we are to minister to one another. There's good things we can do for one another in the body of Christ. Now, who's our example of this?
Jesus,
right? Because wherever Jesus went, he was what? Doing good. Put this verse down. Acts 10:38. It says this. You know Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him.
Yes.
He went around doing good. You know what? If we would be busy going around doing good, we wouldn't have time to be going around doing bad. Come on. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor Les. Thank you. Do good to one another. Third of our one another statements. Bear the burdens of one another. Do you see it up in Galatians 6:2? Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Again, bear one another's burdens. The word bear is a word that means to lift, to bear, to carry, to take up. It's in a form that means keep on bearing. Keep on bearing. The word is used of Jesus in John 19:17. It says, they took Jesus, therefore, and he went out bearing his own cross. That's the word. Jesus bore his own cross, and now he tells us, you bear the burdens of brothers and sisters in the church. Now, the word burden, interesting. It means a heavy load. It means a heavy weight. It's used over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. You remember, these momentary light afflictions are producing for us, listen, an eternal weight of glory. That's the weight, the eternal weight of glory. It's a heavy weight. A heavy weight, a heavy burden. A heavy burden. When we're commanded to bear the burdens of our brothers and sisters, that means the heavy burdens of life that sometimes overwhelm every one of us. Life circumstances sometimes come at us, listen, and crush us. Crush us. Have you been there? You've all been there. Some of us are there right now. Let me show you a burden. Could I have a picture up here, Jared? See that? Why don't you turn these lights off here a little bit? I want you to see this. Okay. Well, you can see this is one of our church members. But look at that burden. That's a burden. Let me see the second one, Jacob, please. See, sometimes life's burdens get so heavy, they crush us. We are just smashed on. Some of us are there. And then sometimes the burdens of life get so heavy that we're just up in the air. Can I have that next one? We're just up in the air and we don't know what's going on. Poor thing. You know what? Burdens. When we know the people are going through burdens, it says, bear ye one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ, the heavy burdens. And the law of Christ, what's the law of Christ? It's love one another. This is my commandment, love one another. That's the law of Christ. When we're willing to get involved, when we see somebody struggling under the burdens of life, we're fulfilling the law of Christ. Now, let me just share with you. You can turn that off there, Jacob, if you would. But the biblical responsibility, having said that we're to bear each other's burdens, this doesn't mean that we just take care of people who are irresponsible and lazy. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 5 in chapter 6. For each one will bear his own load. You see, listen, folks, we have a responsibility to live responsibly. We have a responsibility to the best of our ability to provide for our needs and for the needs of our family. That's our responsibility. Each shall bear his own load. King James says burden there, but the word burden in chapter in verse 5 and the word burden in verse 2 are not the same. This word, my translation says load. It means this. Give me the next picture, would you? It's a backpack. It's a backpack. Everybody has to carry their own backpack or soldier's pack. You see, for most of us, we can do this. We can carry our own load. And in fact, we are commanded to carry our own load. Everyone is responsible to carry their own responsibilities and normal loads of life. We are not, as Christians, to jump in and carry another man's responsibility in life. If we do that, we foster irresponsibility. We create crippling dependence on the church. By the way, the government many times does that. They create crippling dependence. And we're not to do that. We're not to do that. And you see, some people expect you and me to carry their burden when they're not willing to carry their own load. Not good. Not good. It gets tricky here in the church. Warren Wiersbe puts it this way. We should help each other bear the heavy burdens of life, but there are personal responsibilities that each man must bear for himself. Each soldier must bear his own pack. Now, practical application. How do we apply this in the church? How can we carry out this one another statement? First, listen to this. We have to be involved in one another's lives on a personal basis. So that we, listen, so that we know what the burdens are. We need to be together, not just 90 minutes in church on Sunday morning and go out. How do you know what the burdens are? You can't know the burdens unless you get involved. We need to, each of us, listen, have a humble, transparent spirit. And we need to be willing to share our burdens when they are too heavy for us to carry. You know, sometimes we carry our own burdens. We carry our own burdens. And we bear our own burdens because we will not share our own burdens. Because it takes humility. That's hard. It is hard. Now, this is hard for me. To just be transparent and say, you know what? I'm going through something that I can't handle. Would you help me? But that's what we have to do in the church. That's what we need to do. We need to just be able to be sensitive and open and willing to let others help us. We need to be willing to sacrificially help others when there's a burden. Right now we have families in this church that have burdens. The Bell family. Man, was that a burden or what? With Denise going through heart transplant. And Brad and Ashton, their daughter being up at Cleveland Clinic for weeks. That's a burden. That's when we come in as a church and we say, how can we serve you? How can we help you? How can we bear this burden? Thank God people are doing that. Thank God people are doing that. But what if somebody loses a job in the church? Can't pay the rent. We need to be there for them. We need to be there for them. They can't take care of their needs and they've lost their job and we need to be there for them. But what if that person will not go out and look for work? What if that person is offered a job and won't take it? Bible talks about that, doesn't it? If a man is not willing to work, neither let him eat. God has put an internal motivator inside of each one of us. It's called hunger. And what we need to do is we need to do what we can do. Now, sometimes we can't. And that's different, right? That's different. If a person's unable, that's when we step in with the love of Christ and we bear that burden. Yes. Yes. But we don't bear the pack. We don't foster irresponsibility in the church. And that's hard. I'll tell you, the deacons have to have a lot of wisdom with the compassionate fund. And so do we. So do we. Bear ye one another's burdens. Do you know the burdens of people in the church? Get to know your people. We're all ministers. This is not pastor bear the burdens or elders bear the burdens. This is to us. Bear ye one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Now, who's the example of this? Class? Jesus, right? Our example of bearing burdens is Jesus. As already stated, he went out after being condemned by Pontius Pilate, bearing his own cross. He bore his cross, and on the cross, he bore our burden, a burden that we could not carry. We couldn't atone for it. He bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And by his stripes, we are healed. Praise Jesus. He bore our sins. We could not atone for our own sins. We could not pay for our own sins. We could not save ourselves. So Jesus bore our sins and paid for our sins on the cross that we might be saved. Like the words of our first hymn, you remember? You remember? He took our sins and our sorrows and he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary. And suffered and died alone. How marvelous! How wonderful! And my song shall ever be. How marvelous! How wonderful is my Savior's love for me. That's what Jesus did. He bore our burden. He bore our burden. And when we place our faith in him, trusting in he did that. He died for our sins and rose from the dead. He comes into our lives and gives us a relationship with him, eternal life. Yes. Eternal life. And when we are saved, he puts us to work. He says, I saved you. Now go serve. Serve one another. In love, serve one another. In love, do good to one another. Do good to one another. What's your assignment? Do you forget already? Do good to somebody in the church this week. And bear ye one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. That's how we are to minister to one another in the body of Jesus. And how will people know we're his disciples? It's when they see that by the love. When they see us serving each other, when they see us doing good for each other, when they see us bearing burdens in the body of Christ, they'll say, that's a bunch of Christ followers. Go do it. Let's go do it. Amen? Amen? Lord, we just bow before you and thank you, God. Thank you so much that you're the example, Lord. You're the servant of all. You came as the servant of all. You went around doing good and you bore our burden on the cross. Lord, help us to be like you and help people to see you in us as we go and serve you this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand.